Hey guys, Warren Williams again from Holbein Health. So we have another podcast today. The subject on this one is the six different forms of stress. And, you know, I think it's a really needed topic because, you know, a lot of people, you know, when you talk to them, they actually don't think they are stressed because they think stress is shouting and screaming, pulling your hair out and, you know, arguing with people and being depressed. You know, they think that's what stress really is. So, you know, the podcast I'm about to present for you will kind of go through the different forms of stress. And, you know, the whole point of it is for you to kind of look at and see, I wonder if I am stressed, because obviously, you know, today we know that stress is something that's a big concern. But, you know, we'll get into that in the topic. But yeah, so once again, glad to be here. I'm so grateful for those of you who are listening to these, because the goal is to get this information out to as many people as possible to create a conscious awareness shift in the world so people start to take responsibility for their own health and to teach others. All right, so without further ado, I'm just going to let you hear the new podcast. Peace and love. All right, guys. So Warren Williams here from warrenwilliamscoaching.com. Today we're going to be focusing on the six different forms of stress. So with regards to stress, first of all, I'm going to give you the two different, you know, I like to give you these prefaces, you know, prior to starting these. So there are two different types of stress in general. Even though I'm talking about the six forms of stress, you're going to understand what I mean in a moment. So you have, by definition, situational stress and physiological stress. So with the situational and physiological stresses, situational stress is when you're reacting to situations such as you have to pay a bill, you've had a car crash, you broke up with your lover, you know, tax man, you know, things that you get emotionally invested in, things that have an emotional effect on you, and they are situations, which is why it's called situational stress. So that's all things that people mainly are aware of. When they think of stress, they think stress is those things. They think that's the only thing that is stress. Things that you're upset with, like, you know, you've got debt, you know, you don't have enough money to pay your bills, you know, your children are starving, and you have an emotional reaction to that situation. So that's the emotional forms of stresses that people are aware of, and also the forms of stresses that people think are the only types of stresses in general. Then the second form or category is physiological stress. So physiological stress basically is body-wide stress. So that could be, you know, you have back pain, you know, you have knee issues, you have digestive problems and so on. That's what you would call physiological stress. Somebody that trains too hard and they're always tired or works 15-hour days and they're tired. That's physiological, body-wide sort of stress. So now we've clarified situational and physiological. I'm now going to give you the six definitions that kind of encapsulate both. So again, this isn't in any order of priority. This is just the six different forms of stress. So first of all, again, not in any order, but just first in my talk, is physical stress. So physical stress relates to, you know, physical load, such as somebody's training, you know, whether it's in the gym or in, you know, in the park or whatever, they're putting physical load on the muscles. And again, without getting into too much detail, obviously muscles will grow based on the stress that's imposed upon them. The body creates a physiological adaptation to the stress so it becomes stronger. So if you lift 50 pounds and you keep lifting 50 pounds, eventually the body will start breaking down muscle tissue to the point where it repairs and gets stronger, so that 50 pounds seems easy because the body's always trying to adapt so that your body does have the least amount of stress. Because basically, in our optimal state, we are supposed to be living with as little stress as possible and using as little energy as possible on a day-to-day basis so that we are in an optimal stage of living. So the body is trying to adapt stress, physiological stresses of any type. So when you exercise, you are putting stress on the muscles, and the muscles adapt and they grow, get stronger, quicker, faster, whatever it is you're trying to do when it comes to that form of exercise. But again, we're not trying to go into too much detail on that right now. Another form of physical stress is the effect of gravity on our posture. And you must see that a lot today. You see a lot of people, especially in this new age of technology, where people are always looking down at their cell phones or mobile phones, and their head's always pulled down. Gravity is constantly pulling their head down into this position because they're always holding this position, and then it becomes harder for them to maintain an optimal alignment where the head is looking at the horizon. So that's posturally bad, where you see people with mobile phones all the time, or you know, their computer and their desk are always down on their computer. But it has a postural effect and it has a physiological effect on their posture. So, and then gravity, you know, the fact that gravity is pulling against us. And, you know, as an example, you see some women who, you know, maybe big busted, big chested, big breasted, however you want to term it. And they don't do any form of exercise and they wear poorly fitted bras. And you see the effect that gravity has on their breasts. You know, their breasts start to droop. So that's another example of gravity's effect on physical posture in the body. You know, and then also people that don't like sitting upright. And then you see them when they're in their 40s, 50s, 60s, having what's called a dowager's hump, where they have a big hump or mass in the middle part of their back, which is like the scar tissue. And they can't stand upright anymore. Their spine is bending because gravity has that effect, unless their postural muscles are strong enough to offset that sort of effect of gravity. You know, and the effects that injuries have on our body is another form of physical stress. So if you're running and you kick a ball and you tear your hamstring, that's a physical form of stress. So all injuries are physical forms of stress. So that's the definition of physical stress. The second one is chemical stress. So our bodies are full of chemicals in general that are naturally produced by the body, such as nicotine is a natural chemical that our body produces, and so on. And it's essential for health, you know, for us to have specific chemicals in our body. And then also we get healthy chemical stresses from the environment, such as sunlight. You know, with the production of vitamin D, the more sunlight we get, the more vitamin D we get, and it helps melatonin for sleep and so on. The bad side of stress is the use of foods that have a lot of harmful chemicals. As we know, you know, today there are something like 400 new chemicals being introduced into our environment. Now, let me just clarify something on this. If you look at the food that we eat today versus the food we ate 100 years ago, it's completely different. The term organic has only been coined because of the fact that so many food out there is not organic. 150 years ago, you didn't have to have a definition of organic because everything was natural. There were no chemical foods. But nowadays, all the foods are denatured. That means they're going against nature and they have chemicals within them. So our body has to break down all the chemicals in foods, then all the chemicals in all of these perfumes and hairsprays and car fumes and varnishes on nails, acrylics, and you know, all these dyes in alcohol, and dyes in food. Yes, they use color dyes in foods to make it look more appealing because people buy based on visual rather than sensation today, which is sad. So, you know, we have chemicals in so many different things, car pollutant, as we said, with fumes, but also new cars have this, you know, you go into a new car and you can smell the toxins in it. So, and those cars are giving off something like 150,000 chemicals a year that you're basically absorbing into your body when you buy a brand new car. So my tip on that would be, if you're going to buy a car, don't buy a brand new car because of the amount of toxins that's in it. Buy a car that's at least a year old. So those examples of chemical stresses, artificial sweeteners, colorings, preservatives, and all the crap and junk that they put in food nowadays. So that's chemical stress. Electromagnetic stress. So there is good electromagnetic stress. We've kind of said already, sunlight is a good electromagnetic stress that aids health. But then you've also got bad electromagnetic stresses such as mobile phones, wireless technology, Wi-Fi. These things are dangerous to our bodies because of the fact that, you know, studies have shown that there are people that when they have tumors in their brain, and they found that a lot of people that are getting tumors in their brain at really young ages, like 20, 25, they've actually targeted and found that The tumor is typically on the side of the brain that they hold their mobile phone. And people that get prostate cancer, breast cancer, a lot of that now is coming from people that when you interview them, they say, yeah, I always used to keep my mobile phone in my bra. Women, please do not put your mobile phone in your bra like it's a pocket. Let me tell you something about mobile phones. Mobile phones are constantly seeking a signal. Yeah, that's obvious. Great. That's radio waves. Did you know that? Radio waves, electromagnetic rays, damaging the cells because they're constantly seeking a connection, a Wi-Fi or a wireless connection. That radio wave has a frequency. That frequency is anti your body's natural frequency. You see, humans themselves have their own frequency. Your cells are vibrating. Duh, no, they're not. Yes, they are. Your cells are vibrating. Now, think of it like this. Every cell in your body is made up of atoms, right? So atoms, protons, neutrons, and electrons. You have an electrical charge, you have a neutral charge. Sorry, a negative charge and a neutral charge. You get a positive charge from anything that you touch, such as electricity. Have you ever touched a TV and got an electric shock? But yet you put a spoon next to a TV and you don't really get a shock. So your body generates energy. So your body is an electromagnetic conductor. Think of another example. When people are dying and they get them on the table, what do? Use a defibrillator. What's that charging? Electricity. So they're using electricity to start your heart. So if you weren't made of electricity, wouldn't that kill you? No, it's bringing you back to life. That means, again, another example of you are electricity. When people have injuries and they go to a physio, what do they use? Ultrasound. Ultrasound is ultrasonic sound. Sound is frequency. Sound, light, heat, color are all frequencies. Every cell in your body is vibrating at a specific frequency. Your body has biological oscillators which vibrate at frequencies. So the aptitude, amplitude, frequency, and vibration determine the state of health that you are in. So when you have a radio wave that's vibrating at a completely different frequency, it is antagonistic to the body's natural frequency. So you are creating tumors in the body. You can research this stuff. So again, women, please stop if you are doing it. Sticking your mobile phone right next to your bra or in your bra. You can get breast cancer. Men, stop putting your mobile phones attached next to your crotch. This is where a lot of men are getting tumors in their prostate gland. So, you know, mobile phones are dangerous to us. They are constantly, you know, putting out frequencies. There's also studies showing certain people that have gone to hospitals with brain tumors. What they found afterwards was that these people slept with their mobile phones next to their head because they use it as an alarm clock. If you want to use your mobile phone as an alarm clock, a good tip for you guys would be to put it on airplane mode, not silent, on airplane mode. Therefore, it's inert. There are no radio waves coming in, so it doesn't damage your cellular body. So you can have it close to you while it's on airplane mode if you're sleeping. So that's a really good tip. So, you know, electromagnetic frequencies, you know, coming from mobile phones, wireless technology, Wi-Fi in your house, same thing. If you have Wi-Fi in your house, after a certain time, try not to have it in your bedroom or the room that you frequent the most because it's constantly pulling in, you know, radio wave frequencies that can, again, harm your cells, cause cellular mutation. So put it in a room that you're not in so frequently when you get it put into your house or your flat. But yeah, Wi-Fi technology is dangerous to us. Things like electric blankets are bad for us, again, because you're just basically laying on electrical frequencies that are damaging your cells. So if you're cold, either turn the heater on or wear, you know, get a duvet cover or wear some more clothes. You know, if it's freezing, go under your duvet and wear a jumper rather than I'm going to use my electric blanket and, you know, sleep naked. That's damaging your cells. Jumper isn't going to be damaging your cells. So, you know, things like, you know, electric blankets are really bad. All of these things that I've just mentioned, they are emitting ELFs, which is extreme low frequency pollution, which is constantly causing hormonal and nervous system widespread damage to our cells. So that's electromagnetic stress. Psychic or mental stress. This would be, you know, people that are thinking what we call stinking thinking, negative thoughts all the time. People who only focus on what's wrong, that's a stress. So if you think positive, it aids the body in healing. Studies have shown people in hospital that focus on getting sick or being sick stay in hospital longer than those who focus on being well. So our thoughts can shape and have an effect on our cellular structure because thoughts are vibrations also. Even posturally, you see people that are depressed, that are low, you know, positivity, they have poor posture. So, you know, we call it red light, green light posture. So people that are happy typically have good posture. People that are unhappy, that typically have bad posture. People that are unhappy typically get sick more often. People that are happy tend to get sick less often. So think about that. So, you know, our thoughts shape our physiological structure greatly also. So, you know, we can retard illness through having, you know, improved self-belief. And also when you're stressed, when you're thinking negatively, it causes tension, anxiety, and elevated breathing. And also, elevated breathing has an effect on our postural system, has an effect on our neck, our jaw. People, you know, that are stressed emotionally, you know, can have effects on the jaw at nighttime where they have to sleep with gum shields and stuff like this. So thoughts have a wide reach and effect physically for our whole bodies. So the solution to that is to embrace positivity, gratitude, abundance, joy, love. You know, start replacing negative thoughts with positive thoughts. So remember, you can't stop a negative thought, but what you can do is exchange it. So when you think negatively about something, just think about all the things that you're grateful for. A really good tip for that is get a journal. You know, when you have a journal, part of a morning ritual for people should be when you wake up and you brush your teeth and you prepare yourself for the day, before you actually start your day, you know, get a journal. It can be a small book and just write down 3 to 5 things in your life that you're grateful for. Because when you do that, your mind starts attuning itself to positivity. It's like a muscle that you're training. So you're grateful that you're still alive. That's an easy one. You know, you're grateful for the friends that you have in your life when you're feeling down that are there for you. You're grateful for the fact that you had a mother and father. They may be passed by now, you know, or hopefully they may still be here with you. But, you know, you're grateful for the fact that you had that time with, you know, loved ones. You know, you're grateful for the fact that you live in a world where you can vote. You live in a world where, you know, you can have access to clean water and so on. Find things that you can focus on positively to shift that muscle. And then the next one, number 5, is nutritional stress. As you know, the saying, one man's food is another man's poison. So it's not just about eating healthy food. It's also making sure you eat the food that physically is right for you, genetically is right for you. An example is the Eskimos eat 90% fat and protein, but it works for them because of the environment they're in, which is cold. So it's not conducive to vegetables. So they're genetically predisposed to eat foods that have more proteins and fats. Whereas the opposite would be the Native American tribes or the, you know, certain tribes that live in the tropical environments. There's far more vegetation, so they can be more of a vegetarian or vegan type of diet because it works genetically for them. And then you have those in the middle, what we call the variable types. And those sort of types, maybe one of their parents was a meat eater and the other parent was a vegetarian, and they can fluctuate between the two. So it's not just eating healthy foods, but it's also what foods work genetically for you based on your environment and your genetics and ancestry. For something like that, I have my new Whole Being Online program, which is a beautiful online program. And on that, you can actually do self-tests and learn more about your genetic type and learn what sort of foods work for you. And there's so much more in that program. Just go onto my website and you'll be able to see info on that sort of stuff. So, but then once we've gone past eating the food that's genetically right for you, then we have to look at the quality of the food that you're eating. So we know today a lot of people are eating junk food, or what we call denatured food, or non-foods, foods that have no vibrational frequency. And what happens is when you eat these dead foods, it takes more energy away from you than it does provide, because your body has to add energy to a dead food to actually give it life, to actually sustain your own body. So you basically end up in a deficit. Think about it. Have you ever eaten a food that afterwards you just felt so tired and you just needed to sleep? That means that food didn't give you life or vitality. It took away. So, you know, there's a lot of GMOs, a lot of genetically modified organism foods nowadays that aren't natural. You know, there are people that are making up foods such as, I remember reading, they're trying to find a way to make bananas taste like strawberry. Why don't you just eat a strawberry? Why do you have to have a banana that tastes like a strawberry? You know, they're just messing with nature. So these are examples of, you know, genetically modified foods and just changing the ecosystem. Bad foods put more stress on the detoxification pathways because the liver is constantly trying to filter out toxins. If you have too many toxins coming in and not enough toxins being filtered out, the rest of those toxins get stored in the fat cells and you actually get fatter. And you're not getting fatter because you eat more fat, you're getting fatter because you eat more toxins, and toxins have to be stored in the fat cells. So the body actually increases the amount of fat cells to store the toxins in that can't be filtered out. So I know I said that quite far. You can wind it back if you need to. But yeah, so, you know, the detoxification pathways are constantly blocked up by the toxins that we're eating in a lot of these foods today. And, you know, if it wasn't here 10,000 years ago, don't eat it. If you can't pronounce it, don't eat it. That's the rule of thumb. So think about it. If it wasn't here 10,000 years ago, don't eat it. You know, Pop-Tarts weren't here 10,000 years ago. Cheerios weren't here 10,000 years ago. McDonald's fries that when you, if you look at a McDonald's fry or a burger, there are tests that have been shown on these bionic burgers. They will literally last years. There was a guy that actually did a study, had a McDonald's burger, and he kept it in his pocket. He forgot it was in his jacket pocket, and he hadn't worn a jacket for a year. He went back to that jacket, and the burger looked exactly the same. That means it's got so many stabilizers and all these little things in it that it just doesn't go off. You know, preservatives, it just doesn't go off. And it's not just McDonald's, there's lots of these fast food companies that are making foods that aren't natural that you can basically buy and leave for a year and it looks exactly the same because it's not natural. So if it doesn't go off within a week, it's not natural. So, you know, we have to try to get away from a lot of these foods that are causing harm on our bodies. So this is what we talk about when it comes to nutritional stress. Even things like sugar, you know, sugar creates massive imbalances in the body. It disrupts hormones. It disrupts, you know, our ability to have blood sugar levels that are balanced and so on. And we know that when it talks about addiction, which was in my last talk, you know, most people now know or are starting to realize that heroin isn't even as addictive as sugar. Sugar is as addictive as heroin. It's because heroin is incredibly addictive. So I'll just clarify that. Sugar is actually as addictive as heroin. People are addicted to it. And sugar itself can, you know, elevate and create blood sugar imbalances. You know, diabetes wasn't a thing, you know, 100 years ago. Let me tell you this stat. 100 years ago, 1 in 1 million people suffered from diabetes. Now, in 2017, it's less than 1 in 100. It used to be 1 in 1 million, now it's less than 1 in 100. And that's because of the increase in simple sugars. All these sugar drinks, you know, protein bars that are all full of sugar, and, you know, bread that's got sugar in it. Cigarettes, check this out, cigarettes have sugar in it. That's why cigarettes are addictive. So, yeah, so that's nutritional stress. And then the final one I wanted to go over was thermal stress. So just going back to nutritional stress for a moment, the best thing to do is if you're addicted to anything, start drinking more water. If you have a blood sugar imbalance, start drinking more water. If you need to filter toxins out of the body, start drinking more water. The solution for pollution is dilution. Water is the best thing. Water is the only thing that doesn't need to be digested. If you can see through it, you don't need to digest it. So that's the best thing you can start off with when it comes to nutritional stress, is to start drinking more water. And also picking more organic foods. So just finishing off with thermal stress. Thermal stress is our ability to maintain our body temperature at 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, which is essential for well-being. When the weather is too hot or too cold, our body, using its thermoregulatory system, is stressed into trying to keep our internal temperature constant. So what that basically means is, you know, you see animals, when it's hot or when it's cold, you know, they don't put on jackets. I know in the Western world, you have parents, or not parents, you have dog lovers that are giving their dogs jackets and stuff like that. But in nature, animals have the ability to regulate their body temperature to the degree where, whether it's hot or cold, they can actually increase or decrease their body temperature to maintain its optimal state so they are in good health. You see dogs that when they're too hot, they start opening their mouth and they're panting because they're lowering their body temperature. And they can also stay more still to raise their body temperature. This is what's part of the thermoregulatory system. We have this ability, but because nowadays we're in cushy houses that have double glaze in, we sometimes have heated floors, and when it's too cold, we put on more clothing, and too hot, we take off more clothing. We are losing our ability to be able to thermoregulate. You know, you see certain people, when it's cold, they're just walking around in a t-shirt. They have a healthier thermoregulatory system and an internal ability to maintain their own body environment. So it's actually good to challenge our bodies by being in environments that are too hot for short periods of time to learn how to regulate and adapt to that, and too cold to learn and adapt to that. If you don't, your body's thermoregulatory system is useless and your body can't maintain its own level, and it's dependent on some external source such as heaters and woolly jackets and stuff like this. So obviously if you're going to the Alaska and you're walking around in, you know, just shorts, then that's too much stress and your body will go into, you know, go into a very cold sort of state, and you know, you can die. So we're not talking about going to extremes, but we're trying to find a challenge for our body so we can adapt to that. So you know, it's good to stress the system once in a while so that you're able to keep your thermoregulatory system balanced so it can learn to adapt. But obviously, like we said, hypothermia was the word I was trying to remember earlier. You know, when we are in prolonged exposure for too long, like in a desert or in freezing conditions, as I said, it can be lethal. So you want to use smaller amounts of doses so your body gets used to its own internal ability to maintain body temperature. So that's what we mean by thermal stress. We need to maintain our own internal environment. And the thermoregulatory system is one of the most use systems in our body. It takes some of the greatest amount of energy that we need for regulating flow and energetic balance in our body is the thermoregulatory system. So what I mean by that is there are certain priority systems in the body that demand energy to maintain them. The thermoregulatory system is one of the highest demanding ones. But because we're not very good at it anymore, it's become a more useless system because of our cushy lifestyles nowadays. So like I said, I'm saying run outside when it's, you know, minus 10. I'm saying make sure you're not always just wearing tons and tons of clothes so your body can actually get used to working itself. So these are the six forms of stress. And again, I've given you a few tips and solutions that you can use regarding each one of them. You know, when we say things like chemical stress, obviously the solution for that would be to start looking at labels. You know, we go back to, you know, chemical stresses for a moment. You know, start looking at labels. Start looking at avoiding things like parabens, P-A-R-A-B-E-N. Those are carcinogenic, which means they can cause cancer in the body. And what you'll realize, these are in a lot of foods, and far more so in shampoos, conditioners, and you know, body care products. You'll see it's in about at least 90% of all of these things. So don't just buy an expensive brand because it's an expensive brand. They still use a lot of chemicals in their products. Another thing I'd like you guys to avoid is sodium lauryl sulfate. It also is a carcinogenic hormone mimicker, which can cause cancer in the body. When we're looking at chemicals, plastics, try not to pack things in plastic, like foods. Don't try not to pack them in plastics because they have a lot of plastics nowadays have BPA, which is bisphenol A, which is an estrogen mimicker, which means you're going to have synthetic estrogen entering into your body. So you can buy a lot of BPA-free products, especially for your children with bottles and stuff. Really look for BPA-free products and, you know, just try to be more sensible with your purchasing. Start looking at labels, start reading things. Don't just buy unconsciously. You know, we spoke before in one of my other podcasts on unconsciously doing things. Try to become more conscious. So that's what you can do with chemical stuff. Avoid those two things more importantly, BPA, parabens, and sodium lauryl sulfates, or three things. Try to avoid those sort of things in chemicals. Physical stress, you know, we've already spoken about. You know, focus on positivity. If you're going to train, listen to your body. When your body says to rest, try to rest. Don't just train through pain. Training through pain is breaking a red light. So you definitely don't want to ignore red lights. Listen to your body. So hopefully, you know, this podcast has helped you just start to understand different types of stresses, because we know they say heart disease is the biggest stress in the world. It's not. Stress is the biggest stress in the world, and stress creates heart disease. So once you control your stresses and you live within a confinement of optimal stress to the point where you're actually challenging your body to become stronger, then you maintain optimal well-being and vitality. Hopefully that makes sense, guys, and I'll see you again on another talk. Peace. Stay healthy, happy, whole, in whole being health. All right, guys, hopefully you enjoyed that talk. Any comments, greatly appreciated. It just helps me to fine-tune my content and delivery and, you know, the titles of, you know, my talks, and, you know, just things that you may be interested in, want to know more about. I'd appreciate that, and share these, you know, podcasts to friends and family that need to know this sort of information. I always know this unwritten universal rule that your loved ones tend not to listen to you. The people that are closest to you, the ones that don't listen. And I know this. I don't speak to any of my family about health and well-being because they just don't listen, because it comes from me. They'd rather listen to the same information from somebody they don't know. And this goes back to the idea that people don't like being changed. They want to be changed. They want to change, but they don't like being changed. And they will always think that their family and friends are trying to change them. So pass it on as much as you can. Thanks for listening, guys. Until my next podcast, peace.